So, Brad, you had a very big event this morning, one of the biggest events in a cartoonist's life. Tell me what happened this morning in your backyard.
Oh, man. I took delivery of the newest set of books, Evil Inc., under new management. They got hung up in customs a little longer than I expected them to, longer than my printer had expected them to. I was expecting these things middle of October at best. And it just kept getting held up and held up. And then getting them from New York to Philadelphia took much longer than it has in the years past. So I was very anxious to get these books. And of course, I'd called the trucking company once they told me who was going to handle the final leg of the delivery. I talked to the trucking company and I said, the only thing is, we're coming to the end of October. If anything after October 31st, I'm going to be out of the state for about 5 days. So, you know, if you could get in here before then, that'd be great. If not, we got to hold it until the 6th. And of course, you know the phone call I got on October 31st. What time can we drop these by your studio? And I'm lucky enough, the studio here has a loading dock that makes it relatively easy for this to happen. It's not like when I used to take the delivery at my house and I'd have to physically carry them box by box up and down the stairs. But there was just no way I was going to be able to supervise the move-in.
Right.
So I said, you guys just got to hold on to it till Tuesday. I'll be back on Tuesday. So everything's fine. They say, we'll call you when we're coming out. So I get out here. I of course, first thing I did was I went out and voted. I made sure I got that because I didn't want that hanging over my head.
Right.
So
good man.
I went out and I voted and I come into the studio and I'm just getting things kind of, you know, started up here and there, doing a little cleaning up, and get a phone call. And it's from the trucker. And I'm expecting him to say, I'm going to be there in an hour. I'm going to be there in 3 hours.
Right.
No, he says, I'm out front.
Oh, geez. Oh, thanks for the warning, champ.
Oh, and it is raining cats and dogs.
Oh, no. That's always my worst nightmare.
Oh, it's the
worst.
Usually
a pallet is semi-wrapped with plastic on the sides, but their pallets aren't normally covered with plastic on the top. Oh, boy, that's the worst.
I've got to say, I use TWP. And I will tell you in a moment what that stands for, because I don't remember it all. I just remember the initials.
It sounds like you're sharing your bathroom regimen with us. I don't know what that was.
I'm down with TWP. Yeah, you know me. No, it's... what is... Now it's making me crazy.
It doesn't matter. Trans World Partnership. Let's just say that. Who cares?
I think so. Anyway... So these printers were fantastic. There's actually like a little padding on top of the top layer of books, like almost a blanket to soak up anything that might come through there. So they did have it packaged beautifully. They did a great job, but it's still pouring down rain. That's okay though, because all he's got to do is back his truck, and he it was a small enough truck. All he's got to do is back it down the one alley and get it to the loading dock. So I go out the front to meet him, and I see that one of the neighbors who runs a tow truck business, he's got his tow truck parked right in the middle of the alley. Ah, man. Well, I knew that I'd seen him do that before, so I pulled him aside this summer, and I said, hey, if there's ever a time that I might need to get a truck down there to take a delivery, could I get a phone number in case I got to call you? Yeah, no problem, blah, blah. So... Now I'm calling the number and I'm getting answering machine messages and I'm getting redirected. And meanwhile, I got this poor schmuck out here driving truck on the first stop of his day. And I know how that works.
Oh, yeah. You're holding up the whole line.
If he takes extra time. Oh, yeah. It may take 5 minutes for me, but that means he's got an extra hour on the end of his day because all that shit flows downhill.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
I'm trying to be cognizant of that. And so I'm calling. Finally, I get through to the trucking company. They get through to him. fantastic. I say, listen, while he's moving the truck, I'm going to go around back and open up the door. It's like a big, heavy garage door, but it's not on a motor. It's on a chain. And so I what I've got to do is grab the chain really high, put all of my weight into it, pull it all the way down, and the little garage door goes up an inch.
I love the idea of you pulling a big chain with your full body weight, because I'm imagining you like in an iron worker setting. You're just like you're working with molten steel, Brad Geiger.
It's the most physical labor I've done in months.
You're like, I pulled 17 muscles.
Oh, I'm gonna feel it in the morning. I know that. But so I'm yanking on this thing and yanking on it. But I haven't even gotten there that far yet, because between my storage area and the loading dock door is another storage area. And I always tell them, hey, just leave me a path in case I've got a shipment. Just leave me a path. And I had talked to the building owner at the beginning of October, and I said, hey, I'm going to have a shipment later on. Right now I look at that area. It's wide and clear. There's nothing in there. Just make sure that if anything does go in there, you leave me a path. So you know what happened when I opened up the door.
Oh,
they
not
had
a path.
That entire area stacked to the gills with boxes and furniture and some bags of cement and tile and all of this shit. Somebody, I don't know, like a construction zone had moved in there.
Oh,
and
geez,
I
Brad.
Had to. So here I am. I got to say this in case somebody's listening out there. I'm crawling over top of all this shit to get to the fucking garage door so I can open that and pull that by chains, because at this time I can hear his truck, and I'm yanking and it goes up an inch, and I'm yanking and it goes up an inch, and the guy goes, is this the best you could do? I'm like, yeah, that's the best I could do. And I said, wait till I open this thing high enough, you'll see the nightmare you've got waiting for you on the other side of this wall. So I get it open, and there's no room. There is no room. I said, I don't know what to do. I said, I don't want to hold you here. I said, can you bring it around front and just put him in the driveway? I'll put a tarp over him and I'll just carry him in one by one. He says, your stuff's going to get soaked. Even with a tarp, your stuff's going to get soaked. He says, I can't in good faith do that. So we start moving this shit around, and I'm taking these boxes and I'm throwing them on top and throwing them in the back, and I'm just trying to make some room.
Right.
And we
right.
barely make just enough. There was a he got both of those pallets in with a puppy's whisker between the wall and the pallet. Just there wasn't room for anything else. He just like Tetrised it in. And so that's right. So now I've got my books out of the rain. They're safe. I didn't get the garage door down yet, but I'll do that after the
You're
show.
Like everybody else's stuff is stolen.
No. Yeah. Well, fuck them. But I've got to go back. It wraps into the end of the story. But I finally got in touch with the guys that own the building, and I said, "Hey, you guys, I'm in kind of a shitty situation here because I've got the books out of the rain, but they're nowhere near my storage space that I'm paying for. And I don't know how I'm going to get them there. You know, there's no way to get them through." So right. The guy says, I got a forklift. We've got another loading dock in the back. I'll pick them up. I'll take them around and we'll bring them in the other direction. I'm still going to end up kind of doing the end load by hand instead of just putting a pallet into my storage space. But for now I'm okay. But I do got to tell you, Dave, these guys could knock on my door at any time, and we might have to put a pause on the podcast because it's still literally hanging open this delivery. But in the meantime, they're not getting wet. They're safe. They're in good hands. I'm just gonna be happy when they're in my space.
First of all, that's great that they're safe at least. Second of all, when something like this happens, I always think of like, the glamorous life of the web cartoonist.
Oh, my God.
Because whenever someone says to us, and it happened once or twice this weekend, like, you've made it, you've got the dream, I always think of like, yeah, but I also have to move full pallets of books every now and again. You know, like that kind of, I'm not Jim Davis over here. I'm still working. But
how do you do that, Dave? Do you just do that through like Topatico or something?
I do a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Topatico does a lot of my fulfillment. They'll be doing the drive to fulfillment because they get better pricing for DHL shipping all around the world. And frankly, they're just better at shipping than I am.
Yeah.
And what would take me probably 3 weeks of my assistant and I going full bore on fulfillment takes them like 3 days, and they crank it out, and the cost is well worth it because it's probably done better and it's done faster, and I'm able to accrue income in the 3 weeks that I didn't lose, you know?
So yeah, that's smart.
Yeah. So some things in life are just worth paying for. So they do the fulfillment. And then I also take a delivery, a smaller delivery, say of 1,000 books or so, to my house as well. And those are delivered to my garage. And whenever the truck, it's always like a 30-foot truck with a hydraulic backdrop, whatever those are called. But when the guy busts out the manual skid steer, if you get a dude who's been doing it for 10 or 15 years, it's like watching the Bolshoi Ballet with 3 tons of books.
It really is. Some of those guys can do with those pallet jacks. They can do amazing things.
I'm like, you know, at one point I'm like, do you need me to move these bikes? He's like, no, watch this. And he does just this, you know, triple axle, leaps the books up over the bikes, you know, with the skid steer, and then lands perfectly. It's like a Warner Brothers cartoon.
That's amazing.
Well, all right. On the thought that we might have to break away to help Brad with his books, I'm going to say hello, everybody, and welcome to Comic Lab, the show about taking your books and making comics.
And keeping your books dry and making a living from comics. I'm Brad Geiger, editor of webcomics.com and cartoonist of Evil Inc.
And I'm his friend Dave Kellett, cartoonist of Drive and Sheldon and co-director of Stripped.
And this week's Hour of Comics Advice is made possible, and there's no better way to say this now, your support at patreon.com/comiclab. And man, oh man, are we ever going to be talking Patreon today?
Yes, today is an entire Patreon episode because Brad just finished up a wonderful 3-day visit at my place because Patricon was in town. And Patricon, for those that don't know, is the 300-person or so festival slash conference, mostly a conference, of Patreon users interacting with the company, interacting with specialists in fundraising, interacting with distributed fundraiser speakers. And we've got a lot to talk about how you can work better with Patreon and they with you. Wouldn't you say, Brad?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, it was a fantastic visit. It was the time went way too fast, but between being able to hang out with you and being able to enjoy everything that Patreon was offering that weekend, it was fantastic. Let me put it to you this way: it was well worth flying Spirit Airlines for.
Spirit Airlines. Oh, we should talk about Spirit Airlines for a second. Spirit Airlines is like the Gillette of airlines in that they keep the price low on the initial razor, but then every blade is going to cost you.
Yeah, it was. Well, you know, I I'm always trying to kind of watch the bottom line. And so I decided, having not done any conventions in a long time, I decided I really want to do this. Besides, last year when you went to Patricon and came back with your review, I was so upset that I had missed that I was like, you know what, doggone it, I'm going to do this next year. I knew for a year I was going to do it, but I wanted to kind of keep the bottom line under control. So I went and I tried to find the lowest cost that I possibly could for airline tickets.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
And I got Spirit Airlines out to Los Angeles for about $250, just under $300 round trip. And the closest that like Southwest and some of the others could get was about $375, upwards of $400 or so. And I didn't want to do that. So I spent my money on Spirit Airlines, knowing full well that I had kind of heard from people, well, they nickel and dime you. But I never went into discovering anything past that, right? So right. I show up at the airport for Spirit Airlines, and I go to the, there's of course nobody checking you in. It's everything. Go right to that kiosk. Don't talk to me. Talk to the kiosk. So I go to this kiosk, and I swear to goodness, it was the slowest kiosk I've ever dealt with literally, Dave, I could hear the gerbil running inside the kiosk to make to make this thing go. And the first question that comes up is, are you carrying your bag on or are you checking it? You only get one carry-on bag, by the way, which, by the way, it's fine with me. But you only get one. So I'm like, fine, what's the difference? $50 for a checked bag, $55 for carrying on.
Oh, boy.
50. Yeah.
Wait, so why is a carry-on $55?
Oh, why is either one of them 50 anything?
65 so, if you're going to wear shoes.
And 70 if you ever want to see it again. Yeah. So I'm like, screw it. For an extra $5, I'd just check it and deal with baggage claim later, you know, instead of that's the thing about flying airlines I hate the most. When you've got to get in, you've got to lift this thing over your head, you've got to fit it in. Everybody's got them in sideways when they're supposed to be long ways. And then at the end, you've got to bring it down. You always hit somebody in the head. It's the worst. So I usually check my bags anyway, because I can deal with waiting for an extra 5 minutes in baggage claim. All that stuff you got to do in the aisle makes me crazy. So I check my bag, $50, fine. And then the kiosk says, well, you want to sit down, don't you? And I said, yeah, I'd love to sit down. You want an aisle seat? Or do you want to take your chances on a seat? Or do you want a window seat? Or do you want an aisle seat? What's the difference? Well, if you want a window or an aisle, that'll be $22, upwards of about $30. Otherwise, you can take your chances for free, which means pretty much you'll be in the middle with people's elbows in you.
Right.
Well, it was early. This was November 1st. We had thrown a huge Halloween party the night before, just a blowout. And my flight was at 5 o'clock the next morning. So I'm like, I'm going to sleep. I want a window seat. I can ball up my overcoat and use it as a pillow. So I spent $22 on a window seat. Now, by the way, I'm 70. Oh, and by the way, that wasn't 22. That was 22 for each leg of the journey. I had a stopover.
Oh, geez.
So it was 22 Philadelphia to Atlanta, 22 Atlanta to Los Angeles, 55. I've already spent $100 and I haven't sat down yet. So it's like, okay, I get it. Now I really understand. They nickel and dime you, right? So then of course, when you get in, there's no free beverage service at all. If you want anything, it was, $5 for a soda, $7 for a beer or a wine, $7 for a cheese tray. So, of course, I was hungry, so I ended up throwing about $20 on food along the way. And of course, the way back was pretty much the same, except I had a direct flight. I spent way more on Spirit Airlines than I would have ever spent on one of the other ones that I thought was too expensive.
The savvy consumer, penny wise, pound dumb.
Oh, man. I mean, it was a fine flight as far as that goes, but I really didn't end up saving.
Like, I didn't die, so that was good.
Yeah, I got, the one thing they did do. And I haven't flown in about a year and a half, so maybe all of them do this. But you're just coming in where you know you're about an hour away from your destination. And they do this whole smarmy, look under your tray table. If you've got the ticket or the sticker, you've got 5,000 free air miles when you sign up for the credit card. And here's our Spirit Airlines credit card. And of course, somebody, all excitedly has the sticker and they get 5,000 miles. And then they say, well, we don't want to leave anybody out. So if you'd like to sign up for our Spirit Airlines credit card, you just put your light on and we'll bring a sign-up sheet over to you and you can make your application to the Spirit Airline. And then if you do, you get a 3,000-mile bonus. And if you hand it to us before you get off the plane, it's an extra 1,000 miles. And I'm like, oh, that for me, that's the creepiest thing in the world.
Just the upsell on it. You're like, I'm a captive audience. I can't get out of here. Stop selling.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole signing up for a credit card thing. If you're this typical American, the last thing financially you need is another credit card.
Yeah,
you know. And I've done that in the past where I got the credit card with the travel miles. They always expire before you get a chance to use them. I'm always within like 1,000 miles, and then when I'm getting ready to use it, some of those miles expire, and I'm another 5,000 away. It's never the way they say it's going to be. It's the worst.
Oh,
but you got to sit through that.
Oh, Nelly. Spirit Airlines, what are you doing? What are you doing over there, champ?
The only thing worse is if somebody could have gotten on the plane from Smart Cuts and asked me for my phone number. It would have been Niagara Falls all over again.
Well, so now tell the folks, you land in L.A., you get to Patricon. What physically does Patricon look like?
It was very Silicon Valley. In other words, it was an older space. It felt very warehouse-ish to me. But they had done a very nice job of making it very presentable. It was very clean. They had a bunch of white pillars, and they put these pastel lights that shot up the white pillar. So they had all these colors that were going up in a vertical at different places,
right.
and they were very well appointed. They had lots of cozy places to sit down, tables to sit at. You got handed a card, and you got immediately outfitted with a very nice little sketchbook for taking notes in, a water bottle. They had thought of just about everything. And I say just about because the other thing that all of us were supposed to get was a printout of our data that we could take to a data technician and have a one-on-one conversation about specifically our data and how to use what we saw there to do better,
which
I was really excited about. And they look at me and they go, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Geiger, we don't have yours." I'm like, don't have mine. Now you must have signed up late. I said, listen, I got news for you. I was on the first round of emails and I signed up within 24 hours. I've been looking forward to this for a year. And they're like, well, maybe you haven't been with Patreon for very long. I said, I've been with Patreon since 2014. I said, there's maybe three other people here who can say that. Sure. I've been with Patreon for a long time. No, well, I don't know why we don't have it. And I'm thinking, yeah, you could have just said that in the first place instead of insulting me.
Maybe we could skip that part.
And I never did get my data, but I did was able to flag down somebody who worked with the data, and she was very, very kind and brought it up digitally and went through and it did give me some information that I did not know, even though I thought I was handling that stuff really well. It gave me some really good information, but that was when you just first walked in. Then the main event room, the main auditorium, was very much like a warehouse, and the acoustics were abysmal. That was the main problem I had. If I had something to say negative about, and overall, it was a very positive weekend, but the acoustics presented a challenge that was not being met. Let's put it that way, because we spent that first full Friday. I don't know, but I after every presentation, I'd get up and move someplace else because I couldn't find a place that I could hear. Were you having as much problem as I was, or is it just my bad ears?
I think it was your ears, but I think it played havoc with your ears, unfortunately. I had trouble with it, but it was not impossible. I found it totally serviceable, but I didn't find it great, but I found it totally serviceable.
Yeah.
So, I think the physical space clearly was either David Malky and I were trying of Wondermark. We're trying to figure it out. We think it's either an old hotel that got revamped, or more likely an old kind of upholstery or fabric or textile factory that got repurposed into being. And so what I'm getting at is there was a lot of stone, a lot of polished cement, you know, because they've made it look new and Silicon Valley-ish, but it clearly was an old. Meant to hold 40,000 pounds machinery on the floor, kind of a factory place.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of cement. So there's absolutely some trickiness with acoustics, but I don't think I found it as tricky as you did. No. But the staff was really friendly when we walked in. The accoutrement, like it was very well appointed. The color schemes were great. Like Brad said, it felt very Silicon Valley, very nice, very upscale. We were immediately given a gift bag of all sorts of Patreon branded stuff, which was nice. And then the food was amazing at Patricon.
The food was fantastic. And not only that, but it was when you got in, they had a really well appointed breakfast bar with yogurt and good fruit, like not the crappy fruit, you know, the good fruit and granola and bagels and muffins and donuts and all kinds of good stuff. They had free coffee all weekend. There was free coffee.
Well,
when the guy
Was there always free coffee?
If you give it a by the letter of the law, there was always free coffee. The guy wasn't there, but 5 minutes a day to actually pour the free coffee or to make the coffee. But there was always a cart standing there that said free coffee.
I feel like, here's what I feel like happened. I feel like Patreon, which is based in San Francisco, emailed down to Los Angeles to a small independent coffee shop that makes some cool, like, you know, trendy coffee and said, hey, we'd like to hire you to do Patreon. And they're like, great, we'll be happy to do it. And then the guy got there and saw that it's 300 artists that drink coffee constantly, like just always want our coffee. And he did like 2 hours and he's like, I'm out. I can't. No, this is too much. I don't want to deal with this. And
so I'm going out of business over here.
He would just abandon his coffee cart and be like, going home. I'm out. Like, you could see him throwing down his apron. Nope, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, there was technically, theoretically free coffee. But yeah. The other thing I do have to say, I've got to really throw it out to him. In terms of the food, not only did they have breakfast, and there was always something to snack on. There was fruit over there. There was a whole little alcove where you could pick up, you know, Cheez-Its and Lifesavers and chips and all this other stuff. There was all kinds of stuff to snack on, lots of stuff to drink, like water and lemonade, all this other stuff. But then during the noon hour, then they broke out into these, they call them lunch and learn, where you would take a lunch, and it was a box lunch that they had prepared for you there. And you'd grab your lunch and you'd go over to one of the side rooms, which, by the way, the acoustics in the side rooms were way better. I could hear everything that was going on in there.
Yeah.
But then you'd sit down with people like, and these were more product demonstrations for people that are partnering or planning to partner with Patreon. So it would be groups like Simplecast and ConvertKit and Reddit and BackerKit. And you would sit there and eat your sandwich and hear their pitch and all this other stuff. It was very, very good. And let me just tell you, as a guy who loathes mayonnaise. I mean, I don't dislike mayonnaise. I loathe mayonnaise. And every time it's a situation like this, you know you're going to get a sandwich where somebody had just slathered mayonnaise all over the goddamn place. These, they put the mayonnaise on the side. If you wanted some mayonnaise, you could put some mayonnaise on it. When I saw that, I knew that I was in love with whomever made that decision, because I was dreading those sandwiches.
I love moments like this where you just become a grandpa, where you're like, and the mayonnaise was just, it was off to the side. Mwah, chef's kiss, the way it should be handled. And you're like, yeah, but yes. Grandpa, how is the information for your business? Hold on. I'm talking about the mayonnaise. Hold on. This is more important. Yeah, but what about the whole thing that you flew out for, the actual business conference? Now, hush up. Listen to Grandpa talk about the mayonnaise.
No. You know what? I'm going to die on that hill. If you're ever in the situation where you got to plan one of these things, put the sauce on the side. Not everybody loves that crappy sauce.
Oh. I love this. Well, Grandpa, how was World War II? Well, I'll tell you what. My field rations had just the right amount of Hershey's chocolate in them. Mwah. Delightful. Yeah, but Grandpa, how was it being in a war? Hold on. I'm talking about my rations. Oh, this is important. You're going to want to know this.
Listen, if that would have been bad, it would have thrown my whole day off. I would have had to find something to eat. You got to give them credit where credit's due. They did really good.
Yeah, though the food was amazing. And we should say the in-depth reason why that food was so good and why it was given out for free was the sponsorships, as you referenced, were basically trying to pitch people on, hey, we're partnering with Patreon, and here's why you should use us, here's why you should listen to our pitch, all that sort of stuff. So what were the ones that were the most impactful ones that you listened to as far as the partnerships for
Patreon? The most impactful ones that I listened to were, I ended up skipping the first one because I didn't listen to either Reddit or BackerKit. I ended up doing something else. I got to remember what I did. But I did like the Simplecast conversation. In fact, Simplecast, Dave and I are thinking very strongly about maybe moving our hosting to that, because they've got a lot of cool things that I really like in a podcast application. For example, you can very easily do a clip of your show and put it on social media. And right now I'm doing that manually, and it's not, there's a lot of extra steps, whereas in SimpleCast, it's just baked right in. So they've got a lot of stuff that I'm very interested in trying out. So that, for me, that was the standout.
Yeah, I think that's a big one for us with Comic Lab. Another one that I thought was interesting was Reddit is now going to be partnering for Patreon, so that your flair on Reddit, if Brad creates an Evil Inc. Subreddit, his patrons can now say it'll be like Super Backer, Mega Backer, whatever. I don't remember the name of your tiers, but it'll right. show on your flair, and then Brad will have a flair that says creator or cartoonist. And so I'm vaguely intrigued about setting up a subreddit. I think that'll be fun with a partnered with Patreon.
I'm going to be very interested in that, because so I've had two different experiences with a similar thing, and that would be the Discord server. And I set up a Discord server for Evil Inc. After Dark, and it's a waste town. There's just nothing happening. But on the Comic Lab Discord server, it's turning into a really cool community of creators, and there's a lot of back and forth and encouragement and advice and cheering on and stuff like that. And that I see some real benefit to. So I might end up, once I get the beta on that, I might just set up a Reddit and see what happens. But for Evil Inc., I'm not so sure it's going to be any different than the Discord server. But I know you're very excited about this.
Well, I just think, you know, Reddit is the fourth or fifth largest website on the internet. And it's got something, I'm going to get this number wrong, but it's something like 300 million users. And I am very, like you, I am wary about setting up too many forums where you have to monitor one more thing. You know, it's one more thing on the list that you have to check off every week to go look at. But I don't know. I think there might be something to going to set up a subreddit. So anyway, I'm just saying I'm curious. I'm not sure I'm going to do it yet, but I'm curious to try it. And then another one that I thought was interesting, mainly for the conversation that it generated between you and I, was BackerKit basically saying, hey, have you considered sending your patrons physical items? And all of us collectively going, yes, we've considered that, and we don't want to do that.
We want nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were trying hard. I you got to give them credit. They were trying really hard. They're like, we find out that, you know, there are certain benefits to shipping physical rewards. And I'm like, yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that there are benefits to shipping physical rewards. There's also costs to shipping physical rewards, and not only that, creating them, but actually shipping them. And then if you're talking international shipping, that's worse yet. It's thanks, but no thanks on that. However, I did hear a few people from Patreon talking about where they'd like to go is where they do fulfillment like that. And right. I still don't know how that's going to work, other than if it turns into something where they also partner with a print-on-demand printing outfit, and then they print a book and send it. That I could actually see working, whereas a few years ago I would have turned up my nose. The fact of the matter is, color printing on a print-on-demand situation has gotten so much better that it wouldn't be a crappy book. It would probably look pretty good. The other thing that is always a constant is that the price point is a little higher.
So
there's still going to be that cost. You got to, it's going to have to be an upper tier item. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, you and I immediately thought of, I don't even know that we talked about this, but I'm sure we both had the same thought, which is you're going to have warehousing fees. You're going to have micro production fees, which is things cost too much because you're only making 400 or 500 of them. And so if there's any warehousing or anything, it's out of the question. But you and I both probably agree that if there's any sort of print on demand or production on demand possibilities, that might be worthwhile. Frankly, it's just a service that's meant for people that have 2000 plus patrons, you know, where the scale works better.
Right.
To have BackerKit handle or Patreon handle a bunch of physical fulfillments. Like if you're Amanda Palmer with 11,000 patrons or whatever she has. That might work better. But frankly, I want to share this with everybody. The three most popular benefits on Patreon. Number one, behind the scenes content. Number two, a live Q&A with the creator. And number three, early access content. And none of those have to be a physical item. In fact, all of those are explicitly digital. So I'm wary of entering into the physical products realm with my backers. But anyway, so let's move on to the next thing. So aside from the sponsorship, they had a really lovely, I would say it was a lovely slate of speeches. I think the intention with all the speeches was great. Although Brad and I a little bit had a bone to pick on the inspirational speeches versus the pragmatic speeches.
Yeah, I was actually thinking a lot about this on the plane home. And the fact of the matter is that many of the speeches were kind of like, we're all in this together kind of speeches, you know, like, right. like life is tough and it's tough to be a creator and it's tough for all of us. And but we're all together. And there was an awful lot of that. And that didn't appeal to me at all. I get it. You know, right. When you look through the Patreon or the Patricon hashtag, like on Twitter, for example, there was a lot of people who really, really got a lot out of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, and that's where you kind of sit back and being an adult, you say, okay, that wasn't for me, but that doesn't mean it was bad. Not everything has to be for me.
Right.
That, you know,
right.
being a white man in this country, my whims are pretty much catered to very regularly.
Yeah. Like we don't need to be catered to every living second, for God's sake. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you've got different people up there talking about their lives from different perspectives, that's not really what I came for, but there was so many people that were really charged up by that I'm glad that they did it.
Yeah, I think the bigger distinguishing mark is frankly age. You and I are now, it has less to do with emotion and more with age in this sense, in that you and I know who we are. We are,
yeah.
And we've made an acceptance point. We've been doing cartooning now for 20 plus years. We know it's a hard road. We know there are trolls. We know there is criticism, and we just kind of roll with the punches. And so all we want is like, teach me how to make a better living. That's what we want. Whereas I think those talks were more for the cartoonists, the artists in their 20s and maybe their early 30s that are like, oh shit, this is hard. I don't know how to emotionally keep myself going in my studio by myself. How does everyone else do it? And you and I have developed a sort of both an internal fortitude, but also a small network of friends that we can turn to who know what we're dealing with. And I think those kind of more inspirational and emotionally supportive talks were for younger artists, I think, you know?
Yeah. And if I had a complaint, it would be that I broke down these different talks as I was looking at them on the plane back into inspirational versus pragmatic. And if I had to just do a ballpark guess, I'd say there was maybe 60 or 70% of what was presented, which I would classify as inspirational. That was more or even emotional. And 20 to 30%, maybe even approaching 40, but I don't know whether I'd say that much, was pragmatic. And that by that, I mean, like the workshop that talked about data in your creative strategy.
Oh, I love that one. Oh,
you know what? Between that and maybe putting the internet to work that Philip James did, Nope. Dad and your creative strategy. Oh, no. You know, there were back to back and they were great. Just before Dad and your creative strategy was the Try Guys, where they were talked about with the thinking that went into building a viral video.
Yeah.
That I was scribbling notes on. It didn't have, I don't have anything to do with building viral videos, but their approach to social media and how they strategized it. Man, that was those two tried and true, the Try Guys and Data in Your Creative Strategy right there was worth my flight out to Los Angeles.
Yeah,
I could take all that other stuff and smile and it's like, nah, not for me. But those were great.
Yeah, those were absolutely worth the price of admission. I will say, though, that it's funny that you would say 60-40 inspirational to pragmatic. I was going to say that it was 40-60, that it was 40% inspirational, 60% pragmatic. But that's okay.
Huh.
None of that really matters. The point being that I think the intention, and you at least want to honor the intention of Patreon, Mm-hmm. Is they tried to have a talk for every different kind of artist. Wouldn't you say that's a fair, like the intention was to check off all the boxes? Like,
oh my gosh, Dave, you take a look at this agenda here and you see somebody just had poured blood, sweat, and tears into doing exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
They worked their butts off to try to make this everything to all people. And for my money, they came pretty darn close.
Yeah. So I really want to, even though it, like as Brad jokingly said, even though all of Brad's and my personal needs were not met, that doesn't matter because they're trying to help out 350 very different kinds of artists from all different backgrounds, all types of geographies and financial spectrums. And like, really, you're trying to, if you're talking to Amanda Palmer and her team that deal with 11,000 patrons every month, that's a very different thing to try to handle than the person who just got on Patreon with their 50 patrons for their knitting. And you know what I mean? Like, that's a very big spectrum. And so I think Patreon did their best. They did their best in trying to address all of those different needs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they really did good. And like we said, the pragmatic presentations, and we'll probably circle around and talk more about those because there was a lot of information there. But the pragmatic, the how-to type stuff was good. Now, I've got one major complaint. This is, if I've got one thing that's negative, it's this. And it's that they had a lot of people on stage who had no skin in the game. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I counted at least four people who, during the course of their presentation, let it slip, or I found out later, they didn't have a Patreon until a couple months ago. And it's like, wait a minute, like L Mills, who's this super YouTube star, she mentioned, oh, yeah, I just started my Patreon in October. which, by the way, you know darn well that to get somebody like that to speak, they had to approach her over the summer at the very latest. You know, they did not approach her in October. So it's kind of like the reason she started that was because she was going to be speaking here. And it's like, you know what? She was a very, very fine speaker as far as that went. She had a very emotional arc to her presentation that a lot of people responded to very, very strongly. Mm-hmm. But I think that Patreon could have found any number of actual Patreon users who had some skin in the game. Give me, like I think I said this to you, but that she was perfectly fine. But you know what? Give me a young mother with three kids who didn't know where the next mortgage payment was going to come from, or was looking at an eviction notice and was going to pass off on the electric bill this month because she passed off on the gas bill last month and she can't do two in a row. And she used Patreon, and not only, you know, did she use it to try to solve some or all of those issues, but here's how she did it. You know, I like that pragmatic stuff too. I like the how-to, but give me somebody who's had some skin in the game. Not somebody who started up last month. That and by the way, I think Patreon has a lot of people it could choose from to get somebody on stage there who really was one of us, rather than somebody that just started last month. And that would have been her. The guy that they had moderating on the first day, but not on the second day. By the way, Dave, the hosts, who were very, very, very good looking men. I understand why they were there, but they didn't have it. I can't find a Patreon for either one of them. And they look like they're podcasters. And I checked out their site. Do you want to know how long they've been podcasters?
No. How long?
12 long months. They started in October 2017.
All right. Well, so here's the thing about
there's creators with more more skin in the game.
But
than
both
that.
Of those two were Patreon employees as well. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No. Now the penny drops. Okay, I get it.
The taller lad, the more handsome of the two, was actually my consultant last year for my data analytics, and so
really?
I had a long chat with him last year. He's a good guy. They were, anyway, I found it interesting too, and this is a totally separate side note, that so many Patreon employees actually have their own Patreon. And a part of me was like a big check mark for them, because if it's like, I like the service so much, I bought the company kind of a feeling.
Yeah.
That they use the product that they create. And that's neat. I like that. I think that's smart.
Well, if they work for Patreon, I've got to be honorable and take it back. They certainly have skin in the game, especially if they're helping to make the Patreon what it is. So I'll kindly take that back. But the other two, I was like, nah, you know what? I'd rather have somebody up there who's been in Patreon a little longer.
Right. Well, let's talk about that data talk, because I have a lot of notes. By the way, for our $5 backers, I'm going to make – Brad looked over at my notes at one point during the convention.
Yeah.
And he goes, boy, you take notes a unique way. Why don't you describe, Brad, how I take notes in a conference?
Dave takes such pretty notes. I mean, I've been always trained to take outline style notes, right? Roman numeral one, A, one, lowercase a. And Dave does this beautiful typography with the title of the presentation in the middle of the page. And then all of these notes kind of dance around the circumference of the typography, and there's arrows that sweep in, and there's little lights that blink around certain points, and it's really a piece of art. I mean, by the time he's done, it's a beautiful little typography display,
right.
And I go, what are you doing?
Well, okay, so this is actually worth talking about, because it's an interesting thing from my Mattel days. For a couple years of my life, worked in a kind of a skunk works at Mattel, where we would be co-located with a bunch of different jobs to create entirely new toy brands. And one of the designers was a very artistic fashion designer for Mattel. And the way he took notes, he taught me how to do this, which is, you're not a boring accountant, so why do your notes look like boring accountancy?
Like, yeah.
Your notes should reflect the energy you felt at the time you took the note. So if there's a great idea that you definitely want to remember, make that specific thing sparkle with visuals all around it. And we're cartoonists, for God's sake. So, and what's interesting is, Brad, have you ever had this where if someone tells you their phone number, you don't remember it, but if you write it down, you remember it, because something about the physical act of writing it lodges it in your brain?
That's exactly what I was explaining to my son when I was saying that he said, I'm going to keep things on an iPhone. I'm like, no, you're going to write them down, because that's connected directly to your brain. Yeah,
yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, but here's the even better part is, when you are a cartoonist like we are, and when you are a visual person, if you take visual notes, you do not forget them. If you take accountancy type notes of, like you said, Roman numeral one, subparagraph two, it becomes in your visual mind a droning on of facts. Whereas
yeah.
I remember how I drew certain notes in this notebook. Anyway, so long story short, I'm going to share my visual notes for all the $5 backers on Patreon.
Yeah.
Comic Labs Patreon. And so they can see my notes. And some of them are perfect. Some of them are more personal to me, but maybe you can get value out of seeing how I interpret notes from a talk. So so that's that. I wanted to let everybody know I'll be sharing that with the $5 backers.
Yeah. So Dave, we didn't discuss this, so it's a little bit unfair of me to do this to you, but if I were to ask you to talk about what your biggest aha moment was at over the weekend, other than seeing me coming off of the Spirit Airlines baggage claim and seeing how really I sparkle in the sunlight, what would your biggest aha moment be?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah.
You're right, we didn't talk about
it. And it's unfair, because we planned this whole show out and we didn't say anything about this.
Well, you know what? I will say it like this, and you can tell me if... Because this same thing happened when I went to Patreon last year, which is my big aha moment is that Patreon, like a Kickstarter, doesn't just happen magically. That if you want better results from Patreon, if you want your... Patreon numbers to go up, or your dollar numbers to go up, it takes planning, it takes effort, and it takes almost scheduling out what you have to do. That's my big. So I have, as we'll talk about later, I have 30 takeaways that I'm going to do from Patreon. Literally 30. I wrote down a big list, but
yeah,
most of them are basically just reminders. Hey, Dave, you've got to work on this. This can't just happen
yeah.
by itself.
Yeah,
you can't just post things to Patreon and expect your patron base to grow. You have to actively work at it, like a Kickstarter. That's my big takeaway. What's your big takeaway? What's your big aha moment?
I had two. One of them was when the Try guys were talking about how they approach social media. And they said that everything they post, everything they create in terms of social media, they ask, what is the share statement behind this? In other words, what is the statement that somebody would use to say, I want to share this because? Called it the share statement. And they said, what's the reason that somebody wants to share this thing? And if you start thinking about your social media posts in that way, if you lack into that mindset, you're going to get rid of 100 of these, here's the new comic for today posts. Right. And you're going to start, you might post the same post, but you might frame it in a different way, in which you hint at the reason that somebody would have to share it.
Right.
Or it's just going to stop it. You might say, okay, I'm going to do that. Here's today's comic. But tomorrow I'm going to post something on social media involving my comics that has nothing to do with that, but it's going to give somebody a reason to share this thing I do. And that share statement was great.
I know you have 2 points, so I don't want to hold you up with this, but I would actually, this point is so critical to me, and I've been thinking about this a lot.
Yeah.
I would like to, on a future show, when we've had more time to think about it and maybe test out some implementations, I would like to circle back around on this and come back to this idea of a share statement.
Yeah.
Because I think this is as critical as when we realized years ago that people don't want a t-shirt with the logo of your comic on it. They want a t-shirt that says something about them, right? It's an expression
right.
about them. And so
right.
the share statement on social media is a version of that. You're handing them a statement where they can make a statement about themselves by sharing your comic. And so I think this is warrants a fuller 10 or 15 minute conversation, but not today. After we've had a little bit of testing on it, we'll come back and we'll talk about share statements. So
yeah.
What was your second aha moment?
Oh, this was great. So we came in late to Keith Knight's conversation. Keith Knight, a wonderful cartoonist that we hope to have on the show very soon. Also had a big announcement for his upcoming show on Hulu break this weekend. He was marvelous.
Yeah, Keith had a great weekend.
Yeah. So he's on the main stage and they're talking about kind of some of this attitude towards when you put exclusive content behind a paywall and the pushback that some people get over that. And somebody had made the comment that to this creator and they were a follower and they said, oh, I see. If I want to see that, I've got to give you money. And the creator said back, no, you got it backwards. The people who give me money make it possible for me to give you free stuff.
Yep. Yep.
And that was what I wrote in big letters because I've never thought of parsing it that way, but it's absolutely true. It's not that you got to pay for the paywall stuff. The paywall stuff makes it possible for me to give you the free stuff. And man, oh man, am I ever going to use that? Thankfully, it doesn't come up a whole lot. Every now and again with webcomics.com, it does. But I don't have to deal with that, thankfully, a whole lot. But it's so nice. And it's also just a good mindset to get yourself into.
Yep.
It's a good mental place to be to say, no, those patrons, the people who are backing me, they're number one. They're making it possible for me to do stuff for free for everybody else. And man, oh man, that clunked with me.
Let's test that out. So are you saying, Brad, that people have to pay to see my notes from Patreon in the patreon.com/comiclab site? Brad, are you saying people have to pay to see my notes?
No, I'm saying the people who are paying to see those notes are making it possible for you to do this broadcast for free.
See? So come join us at patreon.com/comiclab.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
But that is a great point. It's just a helpful construction of basically turning entitlement back around on its head of like, well, I don't want to have to support you. It's like, well, you don't have to, but it's just other people are carrying the load so that you can get this thing for free.
Yeah, absolutely. And although I hate to name names, because we're always going to leave somebody out and I'm going to feel horrible. Not only did we see Keith, but we saw a lot of friends this weekend. That was just, it was so nice to see them. right?
Yeah, I was seeing Danielle Corsetto was amazing. Seeing Dave Mielke was amazing. I saw Lonnie Millsap, another fantastic cartoonist.
Yeah,
Keith Knight. I know I'm going to forget people, but it was a really nice. You know, I went last year and there were one or two cartoonists, and this year I don't know, there was probably what, 10 cartoonists there at Patreon.
There was a lot, and the other guy we got to make sure we mention, Josh Hanno was there, who does Nefarious.
Yep.
And I finally got to meet him because he's been a backer for a while, and he does a really nice comic that I enjoy. But he was there and he kind of tipped me off to something I didn't know. There was a lot more not safe for work creators there than I thought there were.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden I saw that happening on a little corner of a board. They had a board where people could write stuff. And it's like, wow, there's more of us here than I thought. And by the time I realized that, I didn't get a chance to introduce myself to a whole lot of people. But it was just nice to know that they were there.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. Absolutely. So continuing on with this data talk, there's another really key fact that both Brad and I did not know that I want to share with everybody. And that is this. Patrons are most likely to delete their pledge in the first 3 months.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
The takeaway from that is if you can get someone past 3 months, you've got them probably for a year or two at least.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of takeaways from this. But one is, to Brad's point, you always want to be presenting value for money. Like Brad does a great job every month scheduling out all the things his patrons get in his Patreon stream. And so there's that. But also my takeaway was I want to find a way to schedule and to set up a reminder system so that I can send a second Bonjuro to a new backer at like the 2.5 month point to say, Susan, hey, it's Dave Kellett again. Oh, my gosh. I just want to tell you, I am still so thankful for your support on Patreon. You are absolutely making my art possible. And also, I want to check in with you. Is there anything I'm doing right, anything I'm doing wrong that you really want me to change or tinker with? Because I'm happy to listen, you know, that kind of thing. Basically, more of a customer focus, just check in at the 2.5 month point to see how people are doing. What are your thoughts on that, Brad?
I think that's brilliant. And as soon as you figure out how to do it, help me set it up because I want to do the same thing. I want Bonjuro to just bake that in. I want that automatic. That when somebody's been a patron for 3 months, I want that to just pop into my Bonjuro and say, send them an update, send them a check-in, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But
until that happens, I definitely want to check in at the 3 month mark. I think it's a brilliant strategy.
Yeah. So I think the way I'm going to do it, and this might be clunkier than necessary, but I'm going to set up a Zapier routine. And Zapier, for those of you that don't know, is a third party, I guess it's a bit of software that interacts with a billion different kinds of databases. And so what it does is I could set it up so that when I get a new notification from Patreon, it will send their email to a Google Doc, and then every week, maybe on a Monday, I would then check that Google Doc to see the dates. And anybody that signed up 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, I would reload back into Bonjuro and send them a new one. But maybe that's a little too clunky, so I'm going to try to think of another way I could do that.
Yeah, there's got to be a good way to do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But so other points that I'm trying to think of other fun ones from that data talk, because that data talk was particularly helpful.
I've got a feeling, Dave, we're just going to have to take a day on a podcast and just give that data talk a full ride because there's too much for us to squeeze in here at the end of the show.
Yeah. And the other good one was the revenue talk, and we'll probably work that in with basically, I can do this. The three ways, I'll say this one bit and before we end up. The three ways to expand your Patreon is to, one, revamp your tiers. Two, try limited time offers. And there's a new special offers feature, and they're literally called special offers, that you can give as a program, almost like a mini Kickstarter to build your patron base. And that one's a big one. They found a lot of success with that. And then the third one is exclusivity. Something like this, one locked post for every three posts so that people get a peek behind the curtain, but then they go, wait, I want to see what this other stuff on Patreon is. And I think those are all three helpful ways you can implement on your own Patreon campaigns. There's good ones there to be had.
Absolutely. So, Dave, do you want to go through your... You came up with 30 actionable items that you're going to start doing or you're going to try to put into action having done PatriotCon, which I thought was marvelous. You got out of that whole weekend, you got 30 things that you said, I'm going to sit down and do these things. These are going to be a priority. Do you want to share those with us real quick?
Sure. And some of these are specific to my art and my business, so I may skip over one or two here as I read through them.
Yeah.
But sure, I can share through these. And again, I will also put these up on patreon.com/comiclab for our $5 and up backers, so that you can see my to-dos and see what I
do. Yeah.
Basically, this was a big summarizing thing that I wrote at the end of the weekend. So number one, what are share statements? How can you better supply a share statement for people to make it easier for them to share your work? What is the one sentence people would use to share your work? So that's number one.
Yeah, that's a good
number one. Number two is a project that I want to work on, so I'll keep that one quiet. Three and four are projects for Comic Lab, so I'll keep that one quiet. Okay. Number five, consider a 2-week drive for Patreon after the new year and make sure it has urgency. Urgency is key to increasing growth.
They were really hot on special offers and urgency production, like where you say, we've got to get this many patrons by X date or something like that. They were really hot on that.
And if you think about human nature, Brad, it's everything with those late night, the Ginsu chopping knife only for the next 30 minutes if you use the code GO CHOP. Is it 40%
off? You're not wrong. Yeah.
And so it's kind of a version of that. But when you do a 2-week drive for Patreon, you have to say, here is what you get, and here is what your support allows me to do. And those two things together, here is what you get, and here is what your support is allowing me to do. That 1-2 action is the key emotional thing towards people signing up for Patreon. Number six, a reminder for me to be repetitive with my Patreon call to action. You can't just once in September go, oh, by the way, I have a Patreon, and then never mention it again. It's like Brad has said repeatedly in the past, it almost takes the mind 7 times hearing a thing before it takes action on it. So, number seven, say thank you a lot. And this almost can't be emphasized enough. Say it again and again. Without your support, Comic Lab would not be possible. That kind of a thing. So number eight, make new members a welcome packet. And this will also post as an evergreen post. And we're going to start doing this on Comic Lab as well, where you'll see a post on the first of every month, maybe, or a side tagged post that says, here is everything you get. Here is everything you have access to. Thank you. Here's a couple of fun freebies. Like Brad and I are going to start sharing some of our eBooks with Comic Lab backers, I think. And so it's a nice little welcome packet. All right, number nine, send a reminder thank you at the 3-month point. And this is what I was just talking about before. Number 10, film a fun, quick video of a studio tour just for patrons. Show them how it's done. This was apparently a big thing for a lot of people, is they like to see how the sausage gets made. For you or I, Brad, what seems like another boring day at the studio. For other people, like, wow, look at that. Look what he has around his desk. Look what, and I get it. I understand that. So, number 11, I'm going to make a Patreon thank you button that appears under the comic only on the Patreon page. So when I post a comic to Patreon, it's going to have a specific button saying, thank you. Your support makes this possible. Number 12, highly engaged posts once a month are an incredible way to retain, patrons. So it's, I'm going to be using a poll, at least once, if not twice or three times a month, or some other form of highly engaged post to interact with patrons and to test thoughts and desires of what they'd like to see more of. Number 13 is just for me, for a task for my assistant to do. 13 is also 14. I'm going to create a subreddit for Drive, I think. That's so that one. 15 on Zapier, I'm going to have it where every time a new user signs up, it sends their email to a private Google Doc, and then I will use that dated Google Doc to know when to remind them to say thank you at the 3-month point. 16 is a highly recommended book for any cartoonists that are hiring an assistant or an intern. It's called The 1-Minute Manager. It's one of the most popular managerial books of all time, and it's a very quick read, so you can get that at the library. Number 17 is I'm at the new year going to do what's called a managerial 2x2 with my assistant Beth to talk over the new year. And that's basically where I say my expectations for Beth, my expectations for me. And Beth says my expectations for me and my expectations for Dave. And it's a nice way for people that work together to set their expectations for the year, so that you're on the same page. So it's not assumptions. You know what I mean, Brad? It's it's genuine.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
It's genuine communication. And then a video, and I did this one yesterday. I'm going to ask my Drive patrons where they think the story is going, and this is just for fun. And I talked about the one patron who accidentally nailed all my future plot points in Drive.
Isn't that great?
6 months ago, they nailed the story, and I got so terrified that I didn't comment at all. I just let it recede into the sands of time. But I thought it would be fun, and I made a little video about it, asking them where they think the story is going. And then, I'm going to make a password protected book that only patrons can access, like an ebook, and then that'll go in the evergreen link that I talked about before. Or I can also offer a signed or sketch Drive book that's only available to patrons. So that's that one. Another one is just a reminder to me. Point number 21 is a reminder to me to check out blog.patreon.com, and I'm going to look for previous webcomics best practices there. Number 22 is a reminder for me that doing a campaign, doing a special offer that we talked about before, can double your membership. So I really, when I heard the word double, I was like, you have me at double. Number 23, this is a short point to a whole long talk that we heard, but consider doing a signed art card. So I'm going to look into the logistics of that and see if I can make that work. Number 24 is a project that I want to pitch to Dylan McConnis, so I'm not going to mention that one out loud. 25 is to call Discord folks that quit Patreon. And so this is something that you need to know. If you've linked a Discord with your Patreon and someone quits, they still have access to your Discord server. So you need to go in and manually call them. That's just a reminder to me to do that. Number 26, this is something that Brad does very well that I'm going to start doing, and this is content swaps with other Patreon creators. So I will go to Brad and say, here is the Drive Act 1 ebook. Give it for free to all your Patreon backers. And Brad says, here is the Evil Inc. Ebook. Give it to free to all your Drive backers. And then by doing that, we cross-promote each other's work. They get something free. It's a value add that they didn't even expect. So you're over-delivering on an under-promise, which is good. And so it works on a lot of levels. Number 27, Pull Comic Lab. And this was, we did this week actually. So if you haven't, if you haven't logged in to Patreon, go take the poll. And this is, do people, prefer the pro tips that we do, which are, 25, 30 minute, podcasts where we just talk about pro, tips, and that's at the $5 and up level, or would you prefer more personal stories? And Brad, what's that poll saying so far?
Oh, I think it's still about 35 to 23, 35 people like pro tips just the way it is. They just, they like that we do a little side show that is just about tips, advice, usable stuff. And then 23 people like the idea of doing like a hybrid where we do tips and stories from our personal life and stuff like that. But what it was really neat to, for me was that I never had a really good idea how well the pro tips episodes were going over. There's not a really good metric for that in Patreon. I couldn't get an idea of how many times it was being listened to or downloaded or anything else. So doing that poll ended up being a very good way for us to find out that that you guys are digging what we're doing there. So that was definitely worth doing for that reason alone.
Yeah. So that one's again, and the most delightful one, you didn't mention option three, Brad. So option three was to change pro tips to be just fun stories from our past. And we had a whopping and frankly, an overwhelming zero people vote for that.
Nobody wants to hear that.
So no one wanted that. But it was fun to know. It's fun. I would have thought there would have been a few people that would want that. And nope, not at all. So it's good to know that we're doing right there. And then another one for Comic Lab is we are going to be, we've spoken with our audio editor and we're going to work on the acoustics of Brad's space and the equipment that Brad uses. And we're going to ask for our patron support by doing it. And what we're going to do is we're going to price out all the equipment we need to buy. We're going to share it with you guys. And we're going to make that one of our special offer goals is, hey, everybody, we're trying to get Brad better acoustic equipment. Maybe join us on Patreon. And so we'll be talking about that in the future. And then point number 29, 2 to 3 times a month, post a high engagement post like a poll. So we talked about that. Number 30, consider a special offers push for 2 weeks. And I am going to consider that. There's two more, actually, or one more. The last one is consider Patreon meetups at Emerald City Comic-Con and San Diego Comic-Con. So I'm going to do that.
What a great idea.
So I'm going to, again, if you missed all those, I'm going to post that physical notes up on patreon.com/comiclab for our $5 backers. So everybody can have that easier to reference rather than listening back to this. So
sounds good. Well, you know what that means? It means that you've been listening to Comic Lab, the show about making comics and making a living from comics.
Your hosts have been my friend Brad Geiger, back at home in Philadelphia from Los Angeles, who is the editor of webcomics.com and the cartoonist of Evil Inc. at evil-comic.com.
And Dave Kellett, my friend who's happy to have his house back, co-director of Stripped and cartoonist of Sheldon at sheldoncomics.com and Drive at drivecomic.com.
We'll be scrubbing the smell of Brad out of this house for weeks to come.
That's a pungent aroma that's going to stay for way longer than you expect.
That's a lot of onions. I don't know how one man eats that many onions.
I eat them like apples.
I don't know why that reminds me of Lenny from Of Mice and Men, just Brad just chewing on an onion. Well, the Comic Lab theme song is used with permission from our wonderful musician Andy Creighton at theworldrecord.net, and this episode and all episodes was edited by Matt Woodard of Woodsong Productions at www.woodsong.media.
You know what I kept thinking over there in that main room? If Matt Woodard would have been in charge of those acoustics, man, I would have heard every word.
That's true.
I said, where is Matt when we need him? But aside from that, Comic Lab is made possible by your support on patreon.com/comiclab. So listen, there's no better time to say it. We'll say it twice. patreon.com/comiclab.
And the mayonnaise was just, it was off to the side. Mwah. Chef's kiss, the way it should be handled. But Grandpa, how is the information for your business? Hold on, I'm talking about the mayonnaise. Hold on, this is more important.